Is the Holy Spirit a person or a force? You know, as we look into Ephesians 4, today we're going to read about the Holy Spirit. We're at verse 30 now of chapter 4, and the verse says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you." Now, as we think of the Holy Spirit, I was just talking recently to a person who was arguing that the Holy Spirit is just a force. The Trinity is not something that this person believed in. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was God in human form. He believed that Jesus was simply an angel, the angel Michael, who was sent by God, who took a human form, and who then did what God told him to do, but that he was not and is not really deity. And he also denied that the Holy Spirit was a person, and that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, in this passage that we've been reading, it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." And you cannot grieve a force. You don't grieve, for example, the force of electricity. I have a lamp on my desk, and it's turned on. Now, there's no way I can grieve that force of electricity. I can use it. I may be hurt by it. But it is not a person. It has no personality. It does not feel anything. It doesn't respond in that way. If I take my watch and I hold it up and I drop it, it's going to fall. It responds to gravity. And there is the force of gravity, but that force has no feeling. I cannot grieve it. I cannot disappoint it. You can only grieve. You can only hurt persons. And so we say that here the Holy Spirit is described as this person who indwells the Christian, and this person who is deity, who is the third person of the Godhead, and who we are exhorted here not to grieve. Now, when we speak of grieving the Holy Spirit, we're talking of doing those things which hurt him, which disappoint him, which cause him grief because we are sinning, we are failing, we are doing that which is wrong. And so here he pleads with us, don't grieve him. He's been talking about the use of the tongue. He's been talking about being honest, not stealing, but working. He's been talking about being truthful. He's been talking about very practical things, and he says, listen, you Christians, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, he says, doesn't he? Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And each one, when he receives the Lord Jesus, receives the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit comes to indwell him. And this person, then, who indwells him, is very sensitive to all that he as a Christian is doing. And when I may become indifferent to sin, when I begin to deny my conscience, when I begin to deny the Word of God, when I begin to do things that are wrong, the Holy Spirit within me, and you notice the stress there is on holy, not simply the Spirit of God, but the Holy Spirit of God. This one who is keenly sensitive to sin, who abhors sin, who hates sin because of the damage it does, because of the destruction it does to man, this Holy Spirit who indwells me as a Christian is very sensitive, and he is grieved by these things that are wrong. So he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's one of the promises, or should I say one of the commands, given to us in connection with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're never told, for example, to plead to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, we were all baptized in one spirit into this one body. And so the baptism in the spirit takes place the moment you receive the Lord Jesus. But we are told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told not to grieve him. We're told not to quench him as a person, but to allow him to work in our lives and to manifest himself, to reveal himself, to be active in our lives as Christians. Don't grieve him. You know, I've been in homes at times where there have been things going on that have grieved me. Maybe you've had that experience too. I remember we had some children coming to children's meetings we had, and we went to visit in the home, and it was a poor home. Now, poverty is nothing to be ashamed of. Sometimes there are circumstances that come, and they're unavoidable. People are poor. But as I sat in the home, I was distressed, not by the poverty, but by the filth. Really the dirt. It was a dirty home. I sat in the living room and watched while cockroaches climbed up and down the legs of a coffee table and ran across the surface of it. And there was just dirt and filth, you know, scraps of food scattered around and just a dirty, smelly place. And I was grieved by it because I can excuse poverty, but I cannot be very sympathetic toward filth. And so I, as a person, tended to be grieved. And you know, the Holy Spirit is grieved by filth that comes into our lives. If you, as a Christian, are not happy today, it's because the Holy Spirit is grieved within you. You need to be very concerned. Perhaps you need to really get down before God and say, oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And we need to deal with this area so that we don't go on day after day with the Spirit of God within us, the Holy Spirit, grieved by sin, by things that are so contrary to his nature. And this is his plea here. He says, you watch your speech. You watch your attitudes, and he goes on to say, and he names here specific things. These are things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. And they're not sins. They're sins that Christians can get into. They're not these terrible sins where you're breaking laws. For example, he doesn't say bank robbery here. He doesn't say murder. He doesn't say adultery in this section here. They will grieve the Spirit of God, surely. But you know, oftentimes Christians can fall into things that aren't that terrible, that aren't that gross, and yet we can grieve the Holy Spirit just as surely by things we say, by attitudes. Now, what are some of the things he mentions here? He says, let all bitterness be put away from you. Bitterness, resentment, a grudge. Is it possible for this to characterize a Christian? And we have to say, sadly, yes. I think now of a Christian home that I visit at times. And I'm convinced the man knows the Lord as his Savior. And yet, if I mention the name of one other man who lives in the same town, doesn't live too far from him, a cloud will come over this man's face, and he'll begin to speak bitterly about that man. There's a grudge, there's a bitterness, there's an anger that has gone on year after year after year, has never been dealt with. Bitterness. And maybe you, as a Christian, are holding bitterness within you. A resentment toward some other person, Christian or non-Christian. A grudge, an unforgiving spirit toward that person. And you, at times, you know, pull this out in your thinking and you go over it again. And in a sense, you renew that bitterness. You think again of what you feel was the way in which you were wronged, of the things he said, of the things that you feel he did that were so terribly wrong, and you go over them, and you go over them, and this bitterness burns within you. And when you think of him, there's just anger and resentment in your heart. Do you think the Holy Spirit enjoys that attitude? Do you think if you say you're a Christian and you have this attitude toward any other person, living or dead, do you think the Holy Spirit of God is happy with that? He says, don't grieve him. And I'm convinced in some Christians' lives, the Holy Spirit has withdrawn into a closet of their life, and he sits there and weeps because of the grudges, the bitterness, the pettiness, the lack of forgiveness that we can see in Christian homes between husband and wife, between Christians in churches. How sad. It's one of the great Christian sins that grieves the Holy Spirit. And here he speaks very strongly about this thing. He says, put it away. Put it away. If this marks you, and then he speaks of wrath, I suppose you could say here temper, the hot flaring flame of temper. He speaks of anger, which is like the more settled glowing coals of a fire. It just goes on and on. He speaks here of clamor, this loud speaking, this ugly speaking, angry words, harsh words, strong words. He speaks of the railing, name calling, saying harsh things. This bad spirit, this malice. And Paul here pleads with those who are Christians, put these things away. And I'd like to say to you, who are listening, if this is a problem in your life, get down before God, confess it as sin, ask him to cleanse you from this thing, go to the person you've wronged, set things right, and stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God.